Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Miss Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you have the Living by Design host for the next hour, and we will be spending the evening with you, and we're very excited to be spending the evening with you. And we have a wonderful show on tap this evening. We're going to be talking to founder and CEO of eWomen Network, which is a very large resource for connecting and promoting women and their businesses worldwide. So we're going to be talking to Ms. Sandra Yancey a little bit later on, and I'm really excited about that. But before we get to that, I want to ask you how you're doing, my wonderful co-host, Mr. Lamont.
I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm great. It's another wonderful week. I'm just deep into spring and just absolutely loving it, although we've had quite a bit of rain over here on this end of Indiana. I don't know about you in central Indiana, but we've had a lot of rain.
It's been about the same, yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's early spring, so, I mean, that's what they say. April showers bring May flowers.
Either that or it brings more rain. It just depends on how you look at it. So.
Yeah, well, it definitely will bring more rain until it's done raining. So,
right.
But at any rate, I'm just going to run through a couple of things really quick here for our listeners before we bring our guest on the line. Next week, we are back to our Women's Relationship Wednesday segments, and we are going to have Mr. Jason Miller joining us that week. And Jason is the author of Lover or Loser, and he has a really, really good book out. It's Lover, L-O-V-E-R, or Loser, L-O-S-E-R. And Jason's going to be joining us next week for our Women's Relationship Wednesday series, and that is really going well. I have got a lot of feedback from you guys, and thank you so much because I always love hearing from you to know that we're bringing you exactly what you want. So keep those emails coming. I really appreciate that. And I also just wanted to talk a little bit about our guest before I bring her on the line. She is a dynamic individual, Ms. Sandra Yancey. She's a founder of eWomen Network, which is the nation's largest network for promoting women business owners. And recently, Sandra and her team did a project, and it's called the GLOW Project, Tony. And I have the DVD, and Tony, I'm telling you, it is absolutely out of this world. I mean, it's fabulous.
Fantastic.
Very motivating, very uplifting, exactly what, I mean, I know it's done for women and it's meant for women, but I think it could motivate anyone, men, women, whoever is trying to accomplish something in their lives. So it's just a fabulous project. And I'm going to be bringing some other participants that were in that DVD later on in the year. I have, coming up over the next few months, I have some other women that participated in that project, and we're going to be talking to them because they are extremely dynamic individuals as well. So with that, I'm going to bring Miss Sandra Yancey on the line. Sandra, are you there? Can you hear us?
I can.
Great.
Can you hear? Okay, you can hear me.
I can hear you very well.
Great, 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 Kathy. It's great to be on with you.
Well, thank you. I am really excited that you are joining us this evening because you are going to really be an inspiration and a help to so many people.
Well, we help each other, don't we?
That's right. That's right, Sandra. And you know, Sandra, for anyone that may not be familiar with eWomen Network, I mean, I know it's a really very high-profile, well-known organization, but can you just give our listeners a little bit of background about how you started and what eWomen Network represents?
Well, I started it perhaps a lot like many of your listeners. Was a woman with a dream one day and took a spare bedroom and converted it into an office almost 9 years ago. and opened myself up for business, and struggled with it like many of us do in those early years. In fact, in about 3 years into the business, I was on the brink of bankruptcy. Just really could not figure it out. I had written a fabulous business plan, had a great marketing plan, thought I had a revolutionary business model, and had even conducted focus groups, had hired a firm to validate my proof of concept, and it didn't matter is what the bottom line is. The behavior of the customers was inconsistent with how they answered questions, and I was so stuck on what the plan said and what the data said that I could get above the fog and just start to observe, you know, my customers and how they were buying. And the minute I started shifting from being just an online community, you know, see, the vision was for me, it was almost like the first Facebook or MySpace. And and the message in that, the lesson in that really is, you know, Kathy, timing is everything. And in 1999, it wasn't a good time to be thinking about creating just an online community. You know, back in those days, most people were still on dial-up, and graphics wasn't really in the picture, no pun intended. And you know, most people were even on plain text. We didn't even have a lot of folks on rich text yet. And so it was just an idea before the time was really ready, was really available. And I kept thinking I could, you know, be on the cutting edge of converting it, but just wasn't meant to be. So today we still have the largest picture profile database of women entrepreneurs on the World Wide Web. But more importantly, we expanded our model to the whole kind of chapter concept. We do over 2,000 events a year, have 118 chapters across the United States and Canada, and 140 people on the payroll. And so I went from the brink of bankruptcy to the joy of success. And the biggest lesson in that was that I needed to get out of my own way and recognize that I was my biggest obstacle and observe my customers and share my concerns and issues and ask for help. And once I did that, everything started to turn around.
Wow, what a fabulous story. Now, Sandra, I know you are an outstanding businesswoman, but tell me this. I mean, at that time, did you start the network by yourself, or were you and Kim together at the time?
Well, Kim was behind me all the way. I mean, I've been with Kim. We're partners in life as well as in business. We'll be celebrating 31 years together in October.
Wow.
And so he had his kind of gig, and I had my gig, and we did come together for eWomen Network. But, you know, when you look at the model of eWomen Network, if you go to eWomenNetwork.com, if you understand the languaging of eWomen Network, it's really about supporting, empowering, and providing the assistance, guidance, resources, information, and tools that women need. And what I know is that women, when we are alone, you know, Kathy, when it's just us girls, so to speak, we have our own language, much like guys do. Most guys, I think, would
right.
admit that as well. We
right.
adjust our languaging, our way of connecting, based on the environment that we're in. And so what the burden, if you call it burden, that's probably not the right word. I was going to use the metaphor of just kind of the burden on your shoulders. The challenge and the task, if you will, was really on my plate to make happen, because the languaging on the website, the vision, the communication, all had to have very female language. And I'm married to a remarkable man, and hope to spend the rest of my life with him, another 30-some years. But he's not a woman, and he, as much as he identifies with and connects with and values women, you know, he can't speak the language like women can speak. We can always tell, can't we, Kathy,
when
you know, somebody is trying to, you know, craft, it's like you and I, we'll be revealed if we try to speak like a child, you know,
right.
We aren't one.
That's
and,
right.
And same is true, I think, for, you know, the gender differences as well. So Kim was there to support me all the way without question, but it really was my launch.
Wow. Wow, that is a fabulous story. Now, Sandra, I know you explained a little bit about the lessons that you learned from a business perspective,
But share with our listeners how, I know you said 3 years into it you were close to bankruptcy and you pulled out, and you are the fabulous organization you are today. Give our listeners a little bit of insight into your mindset. How are you able to handle that emotionally and spiritually, and how are you able to just be strong and hang in there, and where did you pull your strength from?
Well, I wasn't always strong, just so that you know. I mean, I had some incredibly scary, lonely, sad, crying moments, you know. I was scared. I had so much invested, and what fueled my fear, you know, somebody told me one time that fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real, is that,
yeah, I've heard that.
I was tired. I was exhausted. You know, I just kept thinking, if I just work harder, if I just put an extra hour in, if I could just stay up a little bit later or get up a little bit earlier, if I could just multitask and throw in the laundry and then run over and start the dinner and then, you know, make the list, you know, of what I need at the grocery store and then go up and make a few phone calls and answer a few emails, and you know the scenario, the disaster that I'm talking about. And so what I realized is that literally I was in Dallas, and I was driving around, and I was so broke. I thought to myself, "My God, I got to stop because I don't even have gas money, you know." And I pulled over, and I went in to get a cup of tea at a little place here in Texas. I live in Dallas, in a suburb north called Plano. Get a little cup of tea at a place called La Madeleine, and I was sitting at La Madeleine, and I saw this fly. On the windowsill, I was looking out the windowsill, and I was watching this fly, and, you know, I kept thinking, gosh, you know, this fly just kept, it wanted to get outside, and it kept trying to, you know, I guess it thought it could, you know, break through the windowpane, and it just kept getting up and hitting its head up against the windowpane, you know, and as I watched this fly, I really thought to myself, my gosh, I mean, all the things that perhaps you and I, maybe even a lot of the listeners, were lauded for and rewarded for in corporate America, you know, perseverance, never give up, try it again, you know, tenacity, all these, you know, competencies that we were often measured on, and we often then take those things that have made us successful in corporate America and try it in the entrepreneurial world. And the big discovery for me was that I was behaving a lot like the fly. You know, I was so determined on what I wanted to do, and I was so focused on the goal that I wanted to get someplace, much like the fly was. I kept thinking, let me try it again, and even though it hurts, maybe if I just try it one more time, I'll break through, and let me never give up, even though I'm exhausted and I'm moving slower and slower each time I try, you know, and eventually what happens to that fly on the windowsill, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever come back? I mean, it knocks itself out and dies. And that's exactly what was happening to me. You know,
right.
I was so
exhausted. And you had to ask,
so
you had to learn the lesson. You wasn't learn. You needed to learn
right.
The lesson. Yeah, instead of doing it over and over and over. Yeah.
Right.
Mhm. Yep.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense.
And I finally had to learn to stop. I think what happens is. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Kathy. Okay. No. I'll tell you what happened was I thought to myself, I'm that fly. I'm working so late, I'm so exhausted, I'm so tired, I kept thinking, I can't do another thing. And then I'd go to bed, but I couldn't fall asleep because all I do is lay there and think about all the millions of things that needed to be done. And what I realized after I got some help was, and I had a friend, this was the breakthrough moment, I had a friend I was talking to, and I was telling her, she's a very, very successful woman, built multimillion-dollar businesses, and I was telling her about, you know, some of my problems, and she said to me, Sandra, you need help. You can't figure this out on your own. You are in uncharted waters. You are in a territory that you do not understand. But here's what I can tell you. There are people that have been where you have been. And you need to open yourself up and you need to ask for help. You need to be able to share your dilemma, your challenges, your problems. And you need to be open to changing your paradigms and open to hearing the wisdom of other people giving you information, contacts, leads, resources that maybe you hadn't known before. And you need to be able to make yourself accountable to try new things and never give up on the dream. See, it's not the dream that's wrong sometimes. It's the paths we choose. It's the roads we pick. And we often pick the long, winding, unpaved roads. And the problem is we often, when we do that, we aren't packed with the sufficient amount of, you know, refreshment and nourishment to sustain us over that road. So sometimes we got to pick a different road that will get us where we need to go quicker, more efficiently, more effectively. And I was just picking the rocky roads, girl. I mean, I was just off track, you know. And when I realized that I needed to stop wearing the mask 365 days a year, when people said, "Hey, Sandra, how's it going?" I'd be, "Oh, it's like, it's great, it's wonderful," because somebody told me along the way, you know, one of the secrets to success is to fake it till you make it. I'm here to say that that's crap. It's absolute crap. And for me personally, that was not a piece of advice that served me well. That was a piece of advice that was actually helping me dig my own grave, because I didn't want people to know the pain I was in. I was ashamed. You know, I hadn't really failed at anything before, and I didn't want people to think of me as a failure. And what I learned was that I needed a safe place to be able to talk to someone who would focus on me, not make me feel foolish, and help me think through different ideas and strategies, and then hold me accountable. And that's when I went and got a coach for the very first time. And, you know, back in those days, you know, in the early 2000s, coaching was a new concept. You know, it was still, for me, I only knew coaching in terms of the athletic world. So it wasn't until I found out, what is this whole coach thing, and I got myself a coach. And I remember thinking, God, I'm not even paying myself. How am I going to pay for a coach? And my girlfriend said, "Well, let me ask you something, Sandra. How many pairs of black shoes do you have in your closet? Because if you have more than one, then you have talked yourself into believing that you needed a second pair, which then translates into you will justify and come up with anything that you think you really need, whether you need it or not. You may even, in fact, have it already."
Right.
And I thought, you know what, you're right.
That's right.
Boy, and so you I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this.
You have hit on so many outstanding comments and you know, topic choices that I could jump all over. But one of the most important things that you just said, I mean, you said a bunch of things just now. It was just absolutely tremendous. Thank you. One very important key point that I have learned as a business owner, because I haven't had my business for very long, you know, just been doing this for a few years, is it's really important to use your resources, because I don't know everything.
I absolutely do not know everything.
I know, Sandra, and I am learning that, and I tell you, I'm not married, but I have a wonderful partner that is with me. I mean, he's very knowledgeable on a lot of different things, and he's actually been the path similar to where I'm trying to go. And this individual, you know, knows a lot about the industry that I'm trying to go into, because my background, I mean, I'm here the first one to raise my hand and say I do not have a background in sales and marketing. My background is in technology.
Right.
I'm a technology. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm one of your premier coaches. I'm a technology coach.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get to that in a second here. But when you said that, it really resonated very well with me, because that's something that is so very key for everyone that's listening to my show. Please hear us when we say, don't try to be Superwoman.
Right.
Because
that
you cannot do it all.
That whole multitasking thing, it's like the media makes us feel like, you know, that's the stripes we wear and the pride that we carry. And I'm here to tell you, it's crap. I mean, I really believe that a lot of success, and this is something that I think we can learn from men. I think men have done this incredibly successfully. In fact, women, drives me crazy the number of women that we joke and we tease about men. If not publicly, we do it privately. You know, around how they can only do one thing at a time, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? It's because they're focused. And I think that we can learn a little bit from that. I think real success comes from not trying to be all things to all people, and not trying to micromanage, and not trying to make do it all yourself, and really, you know, swallow the pill that says nobody can do it just like me.
Right.
And instead say, I've got to surround myself with great people so that I can focus on the vision and really steering this ship, you know,
right.
and not being the one that's got to mop the floors and stock the cabinets and, you know, make sure that, you know, the engine is working correctly and all of those things, you know.
Right.
In the end,
I struggled with that in corporate America when I was still in corporate America because I had a team of engineers that reported to me, and I struggled with that knowing that I had very competent, successful, and they were all men, you know, because I worked in a male-dominated industry, and I was just exactly what you're describing. I felt like, well, if I don't do this myself, it's not going to be done the way I want it to be done. Instead of, you have to learn how to delegate and trust your resources, use your resources, because that's what they're there for.
Right. But see, we misinterpret delegating from abdicating. See, abdicating is when you really do, you know, shove it on someone else and let go. And I think that's dangerous, and I will tell you I have done that. That has been a mistake that I have made in the journey of eWomen Network, is to say, I mean, I was just so thrilled when I got a little competency, you know, was able to hire some people that I was like, oh, you can do this? Here.
No.
You know, and that's not delegating. That's abdicating. Delegating is really about giving someone something that they can do perhaps, and most importantly, better than you, let's hope, and then, you know, measuring them and keeping in contact with them and evaluating their progress,
right.
You know, and the bottom line is what we need to focus is on what is the customer experience, and if the customer is elated, who cares if they don't do it your way, you know, because it's not about how things get done, ultimately, you know, when you're in business, it's about what is the customer's experience? Are they elated? Are they jumping for joy? Are they happy? And when they aren't, you pay attention, you pull back, you reevaluate, you put in new processes and procedures, make adjustments, change policies, whatever it might be. But if the customer is elated and the records are, you know, sufficient and accurate, you know, then get out of the way, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think in the end, this is I think is the key message here, and that is that, you know, to be in business today, I think you need to have a website, and all the Web 2.0 stuff is fabulous, the bells, the whistles, the feature functions, yada, yada. But in the end, what you need to know, that is not what's going to drive you and make you successful, but you need one. I think you need to have a good business plan today. I think to jump into a business and to not be thoughtful around really what is it that you're trying to accomplish and how are you going to get there and what are the important measures so that you know that you're making enough success that you don't face bankruptcy is really important today. You need that, but that's not what's going to make you successful. I think you need some decent marketing collateral. I think you need a good, solid business card. I think it's risky to have a business card out there that says that is perforated, you know, that is thin. You turn it over and says, get your free business cards at, you know, whatever.com. You know, I think your business card makes a statement about who you are and how you see yourself and how you value your business. So I think you need a strong business card and a coordinating marketing collateral, but that isn't what's going to make you successful. All these things you need, but in the end, success is about having access, point blank, period. Every single one of us. Oprah still wants and has access. Steven Spielberg still wants and has access. Bill Gates still wants and has access. You know, Warren Buffett, Martha Stewart, I mean, you just go down the line, Susie Orman. It's always about people meeting and learning and growing. And access comes from relationships. And there are three types of important relationships. There's the relationships that are important to you, that you care about, that people that care about you, that will be there for you at 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you need to pay attention to them and nurture them and take care of them. These are the really important customers. These are the business colleagues that have been there to help you, you know, sort through your problems, et cetera. You need to pay attention and feed them, you know, nurture and feed them, because great relationships will go away if they are not fed and nurtured. The second kind of relationships is understanding that your success, your future, and your follow-up lies directly and is directly proportionate to the number of people you don't know. You know, none of us, not a person in business on this planet can ever stop meeting fabulous new people. You know, it's so funny in business, we often say, who's going to be our first customers? And everybody makes a list. And who's the first on their list, Kathy? Who are the first people they put down on their list? Family and friends, right? And the funny thing is about family and friends is what happens is that most of the times, family and friends don't buy from us.
That's right.
We put them first. We set ourselves up for such disappointment and amazing failure because
right.
we put family and friends first. And they often support us, but they often don't buy from us.
That's right.
And so it's important to know that you've got to constantly, you're going to become the hero to the people that had never met you before. You know, it's just the way it is. So you've got to constantly be showing up and networking and meeting people and not passing judgment and helping them be successful because it's not about whether the person you bump into can buy from you and support you. It's who that person knows. And when you help another person, they're more likely to say, and now how can I help you? Who do you need to know? What's your biggest business challenge? Who's your ideal customer? And provide a connection for you. And the third bucket, I think, is taking an inventory of all the toxic, dysfunctional, dream-draining people that you're hanging out with and to create some space, you know, move away from them. Give them a hug and let them go because there are so many people on this planet that are in love, having a love affair with their misery. And the problem is that it's so intoxicating. I mean, before you know it, you have, you know, you're all of your cells in your body after you've spent an hour with them just whine and moan and groan about ain't it awful and it couldn't be worse and why me and all of this stuff begins to infect you. And so you need to not embark on a thing on trying to convert them. Maybe you raise the mirror. Maybe you do say, hey, let me reflect back to you what I've been hearing you say for the last couple of months. This isn't working, that isn't working, and this is going bad. All right, what are you going to do about it? And I'm here to help you if you want to take some action. But if you want to continue down this road for the next 3 months, I got things to do. And just create some space, because when you create that space, you will allow the space for other fabulous people to come into your life. I mean, it's hard, I know, but it is. You know, and we never talk. Women never talk about this. So let me say, not everybody that you are hanging out with today will necessarily be with you as your dream explodes. There are some people that will not be comfortable with the person that you become because you will change. It's not that your values will change. It's not that your core personality will change. But you will be learning and growing along the way as you acquire new knowledge, new information, new contacts, new resources. And there will be those people that will be uncomfortable with those aspects of it. And that's the most painful part. But it is reality.
Sandra,
it is reality.
I'm just sitting here wondering, have you been hiding in my closet? Oh, my God. I mean, everything you are saying, I'm telling you, I am trying my best to sit over here and not scream hallelujah and say amen, because you are talking, you are saying some things, girl. You are saying some things. I am a living testimony. I'm going to back you up a second here. I am a living testimony, and Tony can even kind of chime in on this. What you just said about that networking and relationship building, Sandra, I'm going to tell you, I haven't been in business for very long, but I haven't really had a true, and I'm going to admit something here. It's the first time I've said this, but I just have to give my testimony. I have done very little marketing, for my business, aside from building valuable relationships.
There you go.
I have gotten so much business from building valuable relationships that I keep getting referred. People keep calling me, well, so-and-so told me about you. Well, I got your name from so-and-so. You're a dynamic individual, and you're this and you're that. And I don't even realize this. I'm just making genuinely nice
kind, considerate, respectful relationships the same way I would want someone to treat me.
Right.
And I'm showing these people who I am, what I represent, my passion, what I love to do. This, I'm living my dream. I show them that, and they see that genuineness within me.
Right.
And that spills over, and then that relationship turns into a new one and a new one. And isn't that right, Tony?
Yeah, and I was just going to piggyback on what you were saying, and say that even though you use the term that you haven't done a lot of marketing, when you have those relationships and those networks, that is a form of marketing yourself.
Well, I said aside from that. I know that you're right. It is so.
Right.
It's
the most personal because I mean I can hand you. Right, I can hand you a card, you can see a flyer, you can see an ad, you can hear an audio or you can see a commercial, but until you get that tangible product in front of you or in your hands, you really aren't going to be able to experience it. So until those individuals, and I think that's been your strongest selling tool, is that you've had those conversations, you've had those interactions, you've had the opportunity to be in front of those individuals, and they've been impressed by the product and the brand and the sincerity of what you're doing. And that selling point has got it across. So you multiply that with all the other things that we've been talking about here, and then it just means that it's just going to grow. So that's an important part. But, yes, I can speak for you in that the work that you've done, the interpersonal relationships that you've developed, have turned into some magnificent opportunities in a very short period of time.
It really has. It truly has, Sandra. And I tell you, you just hit on such a key point, and I really want to emphasize that everyone that's listening, that is so very key. If you struggle with your interpersonal skills, please strengthen those skills because it is so very key and critical to grow your business. You must learn how to network effectively. There is an effective way to do it. Please do not try to go out and bond with someone just because you want them to do something for you and then they never hear from you again. That's just not the way to do it.
That's right.
You can't just use people because you need them.
Right. Or pass out your business cards like, you know, she who passes out the most cards wins or something. I mean, I just don't get that, you know. That whole philosophy, I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of money on my business cards. I don't need to just put them in anybody's hands. I believe
right.
that networking is really about giving. It's not about getting. And
right.
I think that it's all about showing up and learning from other people. And as they're talking and asking, you know, what I call the X questions, give me an example of your ideal customer. Explain
right.
to me, you know, what your biggest business challenge is. You will get people to reveal, you know, where it is that they could use some support and help. And when you show up and help other people be successful, you know, you will undoubtedly be successful yourself. Now, I don't even want to quantify it. And I'm a numbers person. You know, I mean, I have such high appreciation for evaluating everything at nauseam, I'm told sometimes. I'm trying to get better than that. But this is one of those rules that of the universe that you either believe it or you don't. You know, I'll tell you a story. When I was a little girl, I was about in third grade, and I had a best friend. Her name was Penny, and Penny and I did everything together. And we weren't in the same class, but you know, we always, you know, when we broke for lunch, we always met each other at the water fountain, and we always ate together, and we always went on the playground together. And she was always my partner on the teeter totter, and you know, every other Friday we kind of alternated. It was almost unspoken. One Friday I would walk home with her to her house. The other Friday she'd walk home with me, and our respective parents would pick us up. And often on Saturday nights we would get together and play. And you know, when we could, we would have an overnight. And one we were inseparable. And one day there was a new girl that moved into the neighborhood, and she was put into Penny's class. And her teacher, Penny's teacher, picked Penny to be the new girl's buddy, so that Penny would be responsible for showing her where, you know, the lockers were and the water fountain and the gym and the you know, cafeteria and the playground, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I noticed that, you know, when I would go, when it was time to go to lunch, I would go to the water fountain, and I'd be waiting on Penny, and I'd be waiting and waiting and waiting, and pretty soon everybody was gone. It was just me, and Penny wasn't there. And so I would go into the lunchroom, and I'd scan the room, and sure enough, she was already in the lunchroom.
Hmm.
And I'd say to her, hey, Penny, you know, what happened? You know, we're supposed to meet at the water. She said, oh, Sandra, I'm sorry, I forgot. But it happened over and over and over. And then I would say to her, hey, Penny, you want to, you know, go out after your lunch? And because now I couldn't even sit next to her because the kids, you know, other kids were sitting around her. After lunch, you want to meet out on the playground and you know, get in line for the teeter-totter? And she'd say to me, oh, you know, Sandra, I'm sorry, I've already got a partner.
Mm.
And then Friday would come, and I would say, hey, Penny, you want to come over to my house? You know, walk home with me today? And she'd say, oh, you know what, I already made plans.
Mm.
And then I would call her on a Saturday, and I'd say, hey, we weren't together yesterday, and I was wondering what you were doing, and maybe if you'd want to come over and hang out with me for a while. And she'd say, oh, Sandra, I'm sorry, I've already got some other arrangements.
Wow.
And after a couple weeks, it dawned on me. I lost my best friend. My best friend found a new best friend.
Mm.
And I went into my room one day, the final time I got the rejection, and I got on my bed and I started crying. My mom comes in and she says, hey, what's wrong? And you know what I said? I said what most women say. I said, oh, Mom, it's nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And she said, well, if it's nothing, then why are you crying? And I'd shrug my shoulder and I'd say, it's okay, Mom, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm, yep, I'm
which
okay.
Which is an acronym for freaked out, insecure, neurotic, emotional woman, right? When we pull that crap, we pull that crap on the men in our lives.
Oh, that's
guys
funny.
Take it literally when we say that.
I
right?
like that.
When we aren't fine. When there's something major wrong, and we learn as little girls to play that stupid game, that ineffective stupid game.
Wow.
That we then turn around and put in our adult relationships and our businesses. And my mom got on the bed with me, and she wrapped her arms around me, and
aww.
She says, you can't fool me, Sandra. Something's very wrong. You're the farthest from fine I've seen you in a long time. And I looked up at her and I said, Mom, I lost my best friend.
Wow.
My best friend has got a new best friend. What am I going to do? And she said to me, you know what, Sandra? You're going to go out and you're going to make a new best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how am I going to do that? She says, you're going to go out and you're going to be a best friend.
Hmm.
And the moral of the story is this. If you want a friend, you got to be one. If you want love, you got to give love. If you want to be successful, you got to help other people be successful.
Mm.
You got to give away what it is you want most.
Mm.
And it's like a boomerang. The minute you throw it out there and give it away, it comes right back at you.
That's right. That's true. You
either
God,
believe it or you don't.
I know it's true because I've experienced it. Everything you are saying is 100% correct. And it's not an opinion or anything like that. I'm telling you, for everyone that's listening, it's absolutely a fact. It is absolutely a fact. That's just the way the world works. You could call it law of attraction, karma, what goes around comes around. I don't care what cliche or word or name you put to it, but it exists.
Right. But what it isn't, the cliches that it isn't, is quid pro quo, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Right.
It's not those things.
No,
it really
no.
is about helping someone else and not keeping score.
Right.
You know, not saying, well, you know, I've helped her 3 times and she ain't done nothing for me. You know what I mean? It's about giving and expecting nothing in return. My mom used to say to me, you know, You've never really given until you've helped someone who can never pay you back. That's real giving. That's a real gift.
You touched on so many things that I have experienced, and you've helped me quite a bit, not even realizing it, but especially with that story that you just told, because I had something very similar happen to me. I wasn't in the third grade, though. I was an adult. And I had a very good best friend, or I thought. But she just dropped out one day, disappeared, and I have no idea to this day. I still don't know. And actually, I haven't figured out how to totally stop hurting from that yet. I mean, I don't want to turn this interview into that type of discussion, but you know, when you told that story, it just kind of brought it all back, although it's always been in the back of my mind. To this day, I have no idea why she moved out of my life, aside from the fact that some of the other things you touched on is when you get to a certain place and a certain point, because of the positive energy that I'm giving out, I know this individual did have a lot of issues and a lot of miserable things going on, and you know, that individual talked about it a lot, and I know that might have contributed to some of it, because she just couldn't tolerate the positive energy that I was projecting.
Right.
So I know that had like a lot
oil and
to do
water.
With
it. Just doesn't mix.
It doesn't mix. And I know, like you said, misery loves company, and when you stop helping someone live in Pity City, they just can't connect with you anymore.
Right.
And it's really sad, and you miss, and you know, you mourn that relationship, but, you know, it's just something that has to change, because you have moved to a different level of awareness and spirituality and all of that. And I tell you, it always has been my passion. Even when I was in the technology industry in corporate America, you know, and I tell this story, and, you know, I won't get deep into it, but, you know, I the title of my radio show is Living by Design, and I also teach a seminar entitled Living by Design, Not by Accident, because if you don't know who you are and what your purpose is in life, you will just allow someone else to design your life for you, and you'll just go that path because you don't really know what to do, which way to go.
Right.
And even though I knew early in life that my passion was to help enhance the lives of others, it would make my day if someone would talk to me and leave the conversation feeling better than they did, more energized, higher self-esteem than they did before they started talking to me. It would make my day. So I knew that deep inside, but I was married to an individual that had such a strong personality, and he actually pushed me down the path because of his values and his beliefs. He pushed me down the path. So, I mean, I did the technology career, and it was a great, you know, I got a lot of good benefits from it, and it was all wonderful. But what I'm doing now, Sandra, I should have been doing 25 years ago. I really should have.
Well, if you would have had all the wisdom 25 years ago.
Exactly.
You have
and that's why I teach that Living by Design, Not by Accident seminar, because I have lived by accident.
Right.
Now, I was smart enough to turn my lesson. You know, I found the blessing in the lesson. I did bring a lot of great knowledge and information from my corporate experience. You know, instead of me living in Pity City and being miserable and resentful for wasting all those years of my life, I did find the good in it. And you can't really get anything from being miserable, because that's a lot of emotional toxic junk that's just, you know, weighing you down. So I'm not going to even live there or dwell there. I am where I am now. I am living my dream and my purpose. I got a lot of great experience from corporate America, and I'm happy about that.
That's right.
But it is important to live by design, not by accident, because if you don't design your life, somebody will come along. I guarantee it. Spouse, family member, friend, whoever's important to you, somebody will come along, and they will lead you down a path because you don't know, so you'll follow them.
Exactly.
So, but you know, Sandra, I want to make sure, because you know, I cannot believe the show has gone so fast. I knew it was going to go fast like this, but
I really want to get in some information about this GLOW project. I have that DVD, and it is wonderful, outstanding, so uplifting and motivating. Talk a little bit about how that originated, how it started, and where my listeners can purchase the DVD and whatever you can talk about the GLOW project.
Well, the GLOW project is a feature movie. It's a regular movie on DVD, 78 minutes. It is designed to give you access to some amazing women. These are personal girlfriends of mine who have achieved just phenomenal success. But most importantly, they glow. And glow for me is that combustion of success and happiness. I know a lot of successful people that aren't necessarily happy. Mm. And I know a lot of people that would be so much more happier if they could just achieve some of the success that they are dreaming of. And these are women who have come into my life. None of them I knew before I started eWomen Network. So they've all been in my life at various stages over the last almost 9 years. And these are the women that have been my role models, women that I have learned from, that I have emulated, that I have not necessarily adopted everything that they've done or said, but rather adapted it to what would work for me. I called it a project because, just like you talk about life is a design, I believe life is a project. I don't think life is a journey. A journey for me implies just sitting on the side and watching it happen.
Mm.
And I would rather make it happen than have to just deal with those things that just might come along the way. My mother used to say to me as a little girl, Sandra, life is not about finding yourself. Life's about creating yourself.
That is exactly my signature quote. I love it.
There you go. Because if you spend a life trying to find yourself, one day you'll find yourself old, and you will notice that you've spent your whole life looking. At some point in time, you've got to put a stake in the sand, and you've got to walk to the edge, and you've got to jump and build
That's
your wings
right.
on the way down.
That's right.
You know, you know, living your dream is not about living life in the safe zone. You know, it's risky. Now, it doesn't mean, what I'm not saying is that you're foolish either. You know, you have to, you know, take a look, understand the consequences, measure the risks. But at some point, you can't have it all figured out before you go. Because if you do, it'll be too late. Somebody else will be first to market, and you'll be a me too and an also ran. And these women in GLOW are amazing. Let me give you an example. One of the girlfriends is Marilyn Tam. While Marilyn Tam is a philanthropist today, she was born second daughter in a traditional Chinese family. And as a second daughter, she was so unwanted that her mother, her parents, didn't even take her home from the hospital because they didn't want her. And the hospital actually had to call and said, well, we don't want her either. You got to get her out of here. And eventually, her parents, while they went and got her, they gave her away. So she learned very early on that she was not of value, that she was not important, that she was a burden to the family, and that she was a disappointment. And yet, fast forward, and she became the president of Reebok Apparel and the CEO of Aveda.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's,
let me tell you about,
she's scheduled to be on the show. Yep.
Marilyn, she's an amazing, amazing woman and girlfriend. Let me give you another. And the reason why I had to use girlfriends is because I used 15 women, half of them are corporate executives, and half of them are entrepreneurs. And they all have their story. But I'm talking million, multi-million, billion-dollar performers here. I mean, Kathy Black, who is one of Forbes and Fortune's 50 most powerful women in business is profiled in the movie.
I know.
Barbara Rubin, who now owns her own law firm, but she was Aaron Spelling's right arm, reported directly to Aaron Spelling, head of his legal and business affairs for Spelling Television.
Mm-hmm.
Now she owns her own ad agency, but law firm. And she started out by being told that she was retarded. She was taken out of traditional classes and putting in cooking and sewing classes. Apparently, she had a learning disability, but at that time in her life, it was defined that she was stupid. And yet, she knew better, and she became Aaron Spelling's right arm. I mean, every one of these women have amazing stories. And all I wanted to do, as women, we often don't get access to other really powerful women. And I know what these women have done for me in my life. And I just wanted to ask them if they would trust me enough that I would represent them in an amazing way and let people see why it is that they glow, how they overcame some of the lowest moments in their lives, both as children and as adults, and yet overcame them to have this incredible sense of gratefulness, appreciation, and amazing success. And that's what the movie is. I think it's the most inspirational movie for any woman out there. It's a great gift for another woman that has been instrumental in your life. It helped you be successful. It's a great way to say, this reminds me of you. You glow. You have brought so much light to my life. I think it's a great gift for a woman that you know that might be going through a transition or a tough time to let them know it's okay. You too will prevail. This too shall pass. You will come out of this better, bigger, stronger, more humble and grateful. All wonderful, beautiful life experiences and virtues to have, you know?
Yes.
Glow is that word for me that encapsulates. I was looking for a word that spoke to the vernacular that already exists in our everyday language that addresses us at our very best. You know, we often say that very intelligent people are what? Bright. We often say that very talented people do what? They shine. Very happy people do what? They beam. Very wise people are enlightened. I mean, all of these words, that little song that almost every one of us used to sing as little kids, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? I mean, I wanted a word that spoke to all of those elements when we feel we're at our best. Ask somebody when they're at their best, you'll say, hey, how you doing? And they'll say, girl, I am on fire. You know, my mom used to say to me as a little girl, hey, Sandra, you know, in life you got to go and set yourself on fire. You know why? Because everyone will come and watch you burn.
Mm-hmm.
And she meant that from the perspective of we are drawn to people who glow. It's magnetic. We meet them and we're around them and it's seductive. We want more, right? And that's what this movie is about. It's for every woman, you know, to have a moment of inspiration and confirmation about their own beauty and brilliance. And it's for every man, because there are so many incredible men on this planet that are absolutely rejoicing at the fact that they are meeting, dating, marrying, raising, working with other powerful, brilliant, beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
And for the men that have those incredible women in their lives, I mean, it's a remarkable opportunity for him. I mean, I'm not a male basher. I love men. I've been married to one. I'm raising one. I almost got one 14 years old, and I'm thankful for all the things that men have done up until this point. But I know that this planet will be better when we walk side by side in all elements of life, not only in terms of our family, but in terms of expanding this world globally and accomplishing all the things we need to do and putting this world at peace. I mean, it will take the energies, the brilliance, the talents, and the will of all of us. And that's what GLOW is for me.
Well, it's wonderful. I have the DVD, and I probably know it backwards and forwards because I have watched it.
Well, the cool thing is, look, we've got a free trailer, a 5-minute free trailer on glowproject.org. So if you're the slightest bit intrigued, you can go to glowproject.org, and you can click on it. And you'll know in 5 minutes if it resonates with you, if you're connected to it, if it speaks to your heart, your soul, if you know somebody else that would benefit from it. And then if after that that fits for you, then you could order it. And it's a philanthropy project, by the way, for me. Proceeds go to
three
phenomenal charities. My goal, you know, I've been raising hundreds of thousands of dollars every year that I give away. I wanted to ramp that up to millions. I don't have the time to do it with the two pair of hands that I have, so I was trying to think of a different way of doing it. This is my way to do a meaningful project for everyone that sees it and to raise money for some great charities so that we can leave the world better. You know, Winnie Palmer, which is for babies, you know, Tiger Woods had both of his children there. But the bigger story is it's a nonprofit hospital, and it handles people with acute, women with acute, serious birthing issues. Whether they can pay or not, they get the same treatment. You know, so I think we have to leave the world a little bit better to a legacy, leave a legacy, all these children being born today that will be inheriting this planet. You know, I think that's important, a future we'll never see. And then DECARE, which does all the international work in impoverished, underdeveloped countries, helping women develop micro enterprises. I do think it could be that girl in Ghana that could find the cure for AIDS. And so I think we need to know we're a global society now. And then finally, our own foundation, the eWomen Network Foundation, because we give money to our own nonprofits in our backyards in all cities all across the United States and Canada.
That is fabulous. That is really fabulous, Sandra. I'm humbled and floored by all the wonderful things that you're doing. And I also want to add for my listeners the GLOW Project, the DVD. It's not just for business owners. I mean, this DVD is very motivating and inspiring for any individual, whatever you may be going through in your life, in any type of adversity or anything you may be going through, it's great. It's great. It will help you through anything. So what's that? Give me that website again, Sandra. I want to
sure,
make sure.
Sure, it's GLOW, very easy. GLOW, G-L-O-W, project, because life is a project. GLOW project. .org.
And that's all one word, GLOW Project. It's all one word. Okay, great. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Kat.
Well, I tell you, I am a member of eWomen Network, and I'm also a premier coach for my listeners that don't know that. And I have been a member and a premier coach almost a year, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Your network has some of the most wonderful people I have ever met in my life. And, of course,
well,
you and Kim included.
In August.
I know. The conference in August, I keep telling everyone I come in contact with, I keep telling them about this fabulous conference in August. And that reminds me, I'm glad you brought that up just real quick because we've got 2 minutes here.
Okay.
Is that conference open to anyone?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have women fly in from around the world. It's the largest 4-day business women's conference in the United States.
Now, give me the website for my listeners to go and get information.
eWomenNetwork.com. eWomen, W-O-M-E-N, network.com. And you'll see a video there. It's a 2-minute video. You'll know from the experience of last year and all of the pictures and the photos and the description. So it's right there on the homepage. You can't miss it, eWomenNetwork.com.
Please go to visit both of those websites. They are fabulous. We are coming up on our last 60 seconds here, and we have been talking to Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of one of the largest resources for connecting and promoting women in their businesses worldwide. And, Sandra, you have been a fabulous guest. Thank you so much.
It's been my honor and my pleasure to have this time with you, Kathy. Thank you.
Oh, no problem at all. So we will be closing out for now. We will see you next week, same time, on the Living by Design show. I am Kathy Holloway-Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we're saying good night to everyone. Thank you, Sandra.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.